Well, good morning, Athens Church. Welcome.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome.
Wait, it's not your turn to speak.
Oh,
yet,
sorry.
So just hold on. I'll turn to you and you can go ahead. Just kidding. Hey, welcome, Athens Church. Yes.
Yes.
We're John and Debbie Woodall. Glad to be here. This is incredible for Debbie and me to be invited to this Better Together series. In 10 days from now, June 21, we're celebrating our 42nd anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you. You know, we got married in college back in 1975, and when we were in a little church and we stood before, you know, our family and friends and God, and we said some things like, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And when you're 21 and you're looking at your beautiful bride, man, you're not really thinking about those words. It's like, yeah, whatever, better or worse, rich or poor, yeah, whatever. I just want to be with this woman. Hurry up, minister, get through with this thing. We want this thing to get going. And so those are some of the truest words that we've experienced in 42 years. We have been through so many things in those 42 years. We had our children young. We had the toddlers, four children. We had three sons and a daughter. We had four children under four. You know, they were teens all at the same time. We had a couple of prodigal sons. We went through that. We had four in college at the same time. We had four weddings all within a few years. And we had 13, what do we have, like 13 grandchildren?
Yep.
Something like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say something that's going to capture your attention, I think, and you're going to get stuck on this thing that I'm about to say, but I want you to stay with me because we'll unpack it over the next few minutes. When I say that we have 13 grandchildren, we do have 13 grandchildren, but two of them are in heaven. We have buried two grandchildren in 2 years. We buried Olivia in February of 14. And we buried a little one-year-old boy last year in April of 2016. When we talk about being better together in pain, we just want to tell you we've been through a lot of things. So you want to add to that bleak introduction, or what do you want to say?
Thanks. No, we really are glad to be here. This is a huge subject. You know, over the 42 years, we've been through so many trials, so many dark times, but through that, we've learned a lot of things. And I mean, as he said, we're in the middle of one of the hardest. It's like all the things we went through before, which were difficult, are multiplied in this one, but we're making it. And we're looking forward to sharing with you a few of the things that we say they're truths that we've purchased.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our mentors uses this phrase that grace is free, mm-hmm. and truth is purchased. Some of you right now, and again, I just want to say for just a second to all of you single people in the room, even though we're in a marriage series and we're going to talk about how to stay connected in times of pain and trouble and sorrow, even though we're going to talk about that within the marriage context, if you're a single man, if you're a single woman wanting to be married again, wanting to be married for the first time, I think some of the ideas that we have purchased, mm-hmm. You know, through these trials, when we say that truth is purchased, what you're going through right now, the pain that you are in right now, the sorrow that you are experiencing life right now, you are actually purchasing truth for your life now and mm-hmm. for in the future. Now, to talk about this idea of trouble, being better together in pain or better together in trouble and sorrow, obviously we're not the first people to talk about that. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, he said many, many years ago in John chapter 16, some of you have read one of these books in the New Testament, the writer is John, and he's quoting Jesus. He says, I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This has been this has been such an encouraging truth for us, because even in our 42 years of marriage and where we would want life to get easier, You know, there's the slogan where people have made a lot of money off the t-shirts that say, life is good. Now, maybe you're in a good place. Maybe you're in an abundant space right now, but a lot of us in the room have experienced this truth that Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. But it is possible that when you're in the middle of your trial, when you're in the middle of your pain, that it is possible for you and I to find peace, deep peace within our souls. Do you want to add to that, or am I following my notes, or?
Absolutely, it's my turn.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
You know, Scripture talks about trials, you know, count it joy. And it took me a while to count it joy. But I'm going to take you through just a little bit of a trial that I went through. We actually went through it together. But what I've discovered is that when trials hit me, and I don't know if we're unusual that we have more trials than normal, but in our trials, I've learned that they actually, when they hit, they kind of redefine at that time what I think about God and what I think about life. Because I'm normal. I don't like hard times. I don't like pain. I don't like being disappointed. And so there was a time that really kind of hit all those notes when it was a few years ago, and we were up in Ruston, Virginia. And John called me and he says, you know what, we're going to move to Virginia. Well, we were living in Florida, and I wanted to move, but I just wanted to move to a nicer neighborhood. I didn't want to move to Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
So we moved to Virginia in the ugliest time of year. We couldn't afford much at all, and I'm like, I can't believe this is what we're going to in Virginia. We went there. The kids were teens by that time. They didn't like the school. That was when they became prodigals. There were difficulties with church politics and things going on, and I'm just taking it, and I'm thinking, be good. You know, I can do this, God. I can do this, God. I can do this, God. And then finally I said, I can't do this anymore. And I remember walking in the house, and we have an armoire that was playing, you know, music on a boombox. Remember that? And it was playing these, you know, praise songs, and that was wafting through the house. And I walked in, and I said, you know what? I do not believe a word that these people are singing.
Yeah.
And it struck my heart. I didn't want to cry because I didn't bring any Kleenex. But anyway, as I said, trials will help you redefine what you're thinking. And what God allowed me to do was see. He tested my heart. And he said, what's in your heart is you don't think I'm good. And I said, you're right. Yeah. I don't think you're good. But I had to confess. I know that's not true. You are good. But you got to show me. And so he took me on a beautiful journey to show that he is always good. Life isn't always good, but God is always good. And he showed me that he has my back and that he loves me and that he is going to be with me in the midst of every trial. And he's in the midst of the one that we're in right now.
And this is why one of the first points that we want to make around this thing that Debbie said is do not let the trial come between you and God. I remember the time when Debbie was walking by the armoire and this Christian praise music was playing. And she's going, yeah, right. And I'm a pastor in a church. It's like, oh, no, I need to quiet this down a little bit. This is not going to go well for me at work. But, you know, some of you, whether you're married or single right now, the trial that you're in has actually come between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
Your anger this morning is perhaps that God is not living up to your expectation. You have an expectation of a God that was supposed to make life a certain way for you and for me. And God has permitted something in your life that he could have prevented. God permitted my one-year-old grandson, Courage, to fall in a pool and drown last April, just before his one-year birthday. God could have prevented that one-year-old from falling in that pool and drowning. And did I have some days and nights where I wrestled with God, like, why did you let this happen? It's easy for your trial to come between you and God. As Debbie said, it's a confession. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love endures forever. His goodness has not stopped. His love has not stopped. And we have to confess those times like, God, where were you? Where are you in this trial? God welcomes that kind of conversation. Here's another thing. Don't let it come between you and God. But here's the second one. Don't let the trial come between you and your spouse. The time that most couples, they begin to separate and divide and divorce is in our greatest pain. Don't let this particular trial come between you and your spouse. You have to work to be together. It's a time, actually, that you need more connection, more communication, more movement toward one another instead of getting separated from one another.
Yes, that is the truth. Each time we have a trial, they've seemed to escalate in difficulty. And this one is definitely one of the hardest. And during the harder times, it takes more work to be one together. So we've noticed that in this one that involves more, this has more death in it. This has more separation in it. So it's causing us to experience a lot of grief and pain, and we're discovering that we process that differently. So that's caused us, it has caused division. It has caused us to have to really work hard to come together. Some of the things, like John said, is that we've had to increase conversation, even though it's been easier and tempting to just kind of go our own ways. It's been easier for us in our pain to want to blame each other or to be disappointed that they're not responding the same way. And also, neither one of us want to become roommates. You know, this is something that we say in our marriage, you know, I don't want to be a roommate. And especially in a severe trial, I don't want to just be roommates, because then I feel lonely and I feel separate. You know, when there's not conversation and things, it's my imagination goes crazy, and then, you know, I need that communication. We've discovered, too, that, you know, when you're having these communications, don't get discouraged if you don't say the right thing, because we've had a lot of those times of conversation when we've committed to one another, hey, let's talk more, let's try to understand, and we've said the wrong thing, and then one thing spirals out. So it's not like you're going to do it perfectly, but keep working at it. You've got to communicate. And then there's another thing that has just been so beautiful, and I just love that he's done this, and the communication has put huge deposits in our healing and in our, you know, coming together. But another one that's been really big is planning time to get away with each other. You know, we do that in our marriage. That's one of our standards in marriage, is take time away. We do, like, every 90 days we try to get away. Well, and especially in a trial, when you think, oh, that's the furthest thing I want to do, because we've got so many things to work on, and usually we get busier when we're in a trial. But focus on your marriage, and then we've taken some time to get away and to just have a different environment and to love on one another and to have a different space even to talk about it.
The thing, and as Deb said, and increased communication, mm-hmm. and even increased time away, some of you are feeling like we can't get away. And yeah. You know, we're experienced enough to know that some of the trial that you're in right now, you may not stand your spouse. Like, this might be a last-ditch effort for some of you coming to church. Like, I'll give you one more shot, pal. Or, you know, you're coming here. And so the thought of being away and being together, it's like, oh, that's a despicable thought to me. But for those of you that have noticed, and again, the natural drift in all marriages is the drift is toward separation and divorce. Your natural drift, my natural drift in our marriage is not toward one. That's why we say we want to fight for one. And we could keep you here for all day with stories. When we had prodigal sons, we had a young son who, when we lived up in Virginia, he got into drugs and alcohol when he was at 14, and we had him in detention centers, we had him with drug counselors, we were taking him to judges. And, you know, he would come home one night, he came home one night at curfew, and sure enough, man, he had been drinking with his buddies, and he knocks on our door, you know, letting us know that he's come in, and I've recognized that he's still drinking. And I did what no father's proud of, you know, in my anger and frustration and desperation, and what else can we do with this guy? I grab him by the shirt. I push him up against the wall. I'm in his face. It's like, when are you going to get this, pal? You know, that kind of parenting that you're going to hopefully learn not to do next week on Father's Day. But I'm not proud of that. And I'm, you know, I amp up in stress and pain. And Debbie's sitting on the bed, and she's watching this exchange. And she's going, I don't think that's helping our son. And everything in me wanted to turn to her and say, hey, I got to be careful, because I told her, shut up, publicly one time, and somebody thought I was serious. But I wanted to say, shut up, you don't know. But the point is, what's going on with your kids and what's going on in your trial, it can split you up.
Yes.
Biggest tension that we've had in our marriage is those kind of trials. And it's like, all right, you figure it out. Don't let the trial come between you and your spouse. Fight to get back together, that the trial stays outside of you. Here's something else that we're learning mm-hmm. in this time is give grace and space to react and respond differently.
Yes.
Now, some of you are working in your relationships that when you met the man you married, when you met the woman that you married, you were fascinated by how different she was. And you thought, that's fascinating. And then she kept doing it. And he kept doing it, and you started thinking, that's quite irritating, actually. And then you thought, well, I want to stay married to you, so I'm going to tolerate this. And so you moved to some toleration, and yet one of the reasons you got married is because you react and you respond differently. The beauty of a long-term relationship is to constantly, for the rest of your lives, in the rest of your marriage, to be a student of yourself and your spouse and your marriage as a unit. The best marriages that we observe are people that are curious and they're learners and they're students of their spouse to know, why are you reacting this way? Why are you responding this way? It's very different. And particularly in trials and trouble, you have to give space to react and respond differently.
Yeah, this part of the trial has been extra difficult for us at this time because, as I said, it involves a lot more grief and things that we haven't experienced before. And so one of the things that's a huge value for both of us is that we need to include God, because we cannot do this on our own. This trial has driven us to His Word to know how, you know, God, how are we supposed to respond in this trial? What do you want from us? How should we be responding? And to call on Him in dependence, because remember, I know that He is always good. So during this time, what we're noticing is that John and I are polar opposites in the way that we respond. I mean, it's like things happen, and we've had a lot of, you know, it's like, we're going to talk about our counselor, but one of the things he says is that we are in a season where we're on the horror channel.
Yeah, we're the horror channel.
You know, we never know when we're going to hear news that's horrible. And so what I like to do is vent. I'm very vocal, and I'll say, wow, this is happening, and this is painful, and then I'll cry, and I want to know what's right. I'll like think out loud. I'm an extrovert, so I'm thinking out loud, and I'm saying, this is right, this is wrong, this is hard, oh God, help. And I'm doing all this, and I also want John to come near me. I want him to come toward me. I want him to feel my pain. I want us to be together, and I'm crying sometimes, and you know, whereas John, when he gets the horror channel message like I do, he wants to get quiet, and he wants to go for silence and for solitude, and he feels cold and distant to me, so then I start feeling alone, and oh, gosh, I hate when I cry So what we've had to do is call on God and ask him, Lord, help us find the balance of giving each other space and grace to process it properly. Like, it used to be very uncomfortable for John to see me crying, and I used to think, hey, can I cry now? You know,
uncomfortable to you or
to me? To both of us, because I knew that it was, I had this impression that when something bad happens, or if I'm feeling bad, I better get over it and, you know, and just like move next.
That came from your background.
Yes. Yeah. It was just, I mean, it was just something that we never really talked about. And I just thought, as a Christian, as his wife, and, you know, be good. And, you know, and it was like, that's how I was responding. So when things just got overwhelming, and I said, I just want to cry. And I'm finding sometimes in this time, too, it's been so, I mean, just the other morning, probably yesterday morning, I said, isn't it beautiful to just slow down and cry? And to recognize what we're dealing with, and then to bring God into it. It's so healing and everything. But anyway, so as he's pulling away and he's getting more distant, here we are like this, and we say, God, help us to know the balance. And he's just been really beautiful and faithful. I think the point that I wanted to make was that you've got to push through that, because we've had times where we haven't pushed through it, and then we go to, it's like this, just this separation, and then things build, and then I start thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be the trial that's going to break us, you know? But it doesn't, and when we push through it, God has really been able to bring us together, and we're so much better for it.
I love that. Thank you. We knew that there was the possibility. This is one of the first times, by the way, that we're talking publicly about this past year.
Thank you.
Here I am pouring out my heart to Athens Church, and you start laughing. What is that about? Sean, we got to talk about these people at Athens Church. Debbie represented it exactly what goes on in our house. And again, I have enough awareness of my journey that my story growing up, we weren't allowed to have emotions. I did not come out of that background. And so when I see somebody reacting in anger, really upset, and so my default is, as she said, I move away. She, in this time, needs me to move closer, and the last thing I want to do is be close. And I'll say it, I know it may come out wrong, but there are times in severe trials that you're looking at one another, and at least I think, I don't like you right now. I don't like the way that you are acting. I don't like the way that you are reacting, and I'm moving away. And that's when we learn we need to give one another the grace and the space to react and to respond differently. Now, here's something. I don't know if you're taking notes, but if you haven't noted anything else, please note this distinction here between reaction and responding. Your reaction to your trial, my reaction to our trials, is a natural thing. That's the human part of you and me. When you get bad news, when my son got the news, he was in our family room when he got the news that his son had drowned last April on Sunday night of the Masters, April the 10th. And Debbie, David, and I, we walk out into our backyard, and he literally doubles over and he wails. This is his second child in 2 years. That's a reaction. That's humanity. That's what we all feel as human beings. But what you do after that, your response is always supernatural. Your reaction is natural. It's human. Your response is supernatural. It's superhuman in one sense.
Yeah.
You can't do it on your own. Mm-mm. You and I were not made to live life without Jesus Christ at the center of our hearts and our being, in a growing relationship with the Heavenly Father who loves you even in the hard times that you're experiencing. So react, that's human, that's natural, but let your response. One of my code words, I say, give me 10 seconds to move into Jesus. Give me 10 minutes to move into Jesus. Give me 24 hours to move into Jesus so that I won't do something stupid and destroy this that God has given. Mm-hmm. All right, one other thing that's really helped us, and find a really good wise counselor. Debbie and I, we've had counseling through the years. We've spoken here at Athens Church a few times. We're not ashamed to say that when we were in our 40s, when we were in our mid-40s, you know, when you hit that midlife season that some of you are in, You know, the Bible verse is not working, going to church is not working, going to small group is not working, saying the prayer is not working, drinking more water is not working, drinking less alcohol is not working. It's not working. And so we needed to find a counselor in our 40s to say, can you please help me find out why is she so angry and why am I so depressed? We've always felt that we needed a good, wise counselor. And when courage died, I called the network. You have a network here at Athens Church that knows the good, wise counselors in Athens that can help you move together. And when I called North Point and I said, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. And they sent me an email of a grief counselor that specialized, listen, in severe, persistent, complicated, compounded, accumulated grief. And I said, that's my man. And we've been seeing him the last 12 months, and it's been enormous. I don't even know where we would be if I didn't have Dr. Z saying, man, that's not what your wife is saying, buddy. You need to understand her a little bit differently.
Yes. The first time we went to Dr. Z, I said, hey, I need a lifetime membership with you.
Yeah. My wife subscribed to a lifetime membership with an expensive counselor. Not a good idea.
No.
I didn't sign up. I unsubscribed.
Yeah. This trial just brought a lot of confusion in our marriage because we work hard in our marriage, believe me. Mm-hmm. We really work hard, but you know, this is why I'm saying trials come from God. You know, there's all different reasons why you're in trials. Sometimes it's because something we've done, sometimes it's something somebody else has done. But either way, God is in the midst and he's always good. So in this particular trial, with the confusion and with the discovering how we process pain differently, God led us to this wonderful counselor who's helped us. He's been like a mediator. No, he is a mediator between us. Yep. And he has explained me to John and John to me. And it's been huge. We've never had that before because we've always been, you know, just kind of been able to work it out on our own in that way. But that's been just a beautiful gift to us. The other thing that I wanted to say is that with having the counselor, and we have a few friends that we've been able to download at different times, but I want to say keep the circles of conversation small. I know we're talking to all these people, but you know.
Except when we speak to Athens Church.
No, yeah. But it's important in your pain not to go super public. It's so vital. One of the things that our son said that I just thought was really good, you know, when you talk about people, you get really close, if not crossing over into the area of gossip and slander. Yeah. And it's very important. And so we know that God says, put a guard on our lips, be careful what we talk. You know, when we're in trial, there's temptation to vent and to defend and to blame and to broadcast, rather than go to God and say, God, what are you telling us? What are you telling them? So we really believe in keeping the circle small and have a good counselor because that's been really helpful.
I love that. And even Andy, when he was doing announcements this morning, he was talking to you folks who are married. Some of you are in a married small group. This is one of the things that I love about Athens Church. We came to North Point Community Church 15 years ago. We've been in a small group for the last 15 years. Yeah. I have to tell you something. I have no idea the condition, the health of our soul, of our being, if we not only had a counselor, but this small circle of friends. And if you are not in a married small group and you're working through this, I mean, even at the studio, when we're finished here in a couple of minutes, you can go to the studio and say, I need to find some of these people. Because you and I were never built to fly solo.
No.
Some of you are introverts. I understand your privacy, your introversion. Others of you are extroverts. But we're all relational. Made in the image of God, you were made for relationships. And when you're struggling as a husband and wife, you need other people around you. I can't even tell you, I can't say it strong enough how much our married small group has been. The last thing I want to say, and then we'll wrap up. We've given you a few things to think about. Mm-hmm. Find your greatest peace in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I started a few minutes ago. We started with the verse in John 16, when Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. but I've overcome the world. Now, here's the thing in your pain and mine, and I don't mind confessing to you that over the last, since Courage died April the 10th of last year, I have no problem telling you that I have eaten more than I should. I've had probably more glasses of wine than I should. I have gone to places to numb my pain. And the thing is, what you want in your being is you want life and peace and rest in the midst of the storm. And Jesus said this in John chapter 14. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Find your greatest peace in Jesus. When you're tempted to go to other people, other places, other things, to numb the pain, to try to drown out the pain, remember the reason perhaps that you came to Athens Church is that there is a God in heaven who loves you. He sent his son Jesus to take all of our sin away, to come into our life and to live inside of you and me in the person of his Spirit. And Jesus says, "Come to me, come to me, come to me, and you will find rest for your soul." I don't know why you came to Athens Church today. Maybe your wife made you, maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend made you, maybe your kids made you. But I hope as you leave and you think about in the world, you and I are going to have trouble. In your marriage, you're going to have trouble and trials and sorrows and hardship. Don't let them get between you and God. God's never changed. He's permitting it. He's watching over it. He's bringing beauty from these ashes. Don't let it get between you and your spouse. Maybe on your way home, maybe sometime before the sun goes down today, you look at your spouse and you say, "I'd like to ask your forgiveness for moving away from you when we need to be moving toward one another." Give each other grace and space to react. Call on Jesus to say, "Be my patience, be my love, be my forgiveness in this story." And go to him where you will find rest for your soul. You will find the deepest peace, yes, in the middle of the storm. You will fulfill what Paul wrote in Romans 8 when he said, "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." All right? Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for Athens Church taking a risk on Debbie and me while we're in the middle of this story. We didn't even really fully know what would come out, what would stay in, but I'm going to say thank you for your grace and your peace and your help even in this hour. Thank you for every man, every woman who's come to this place with a sense of wonder and curiosity and desire. And Lord, you know them all together. I pray for every marriage in this place, God, that you would just be creating beautiful pictures of Christ in your church. And we ask all of this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.